Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business. With the Fed set to announce its highly anticipated interest rate decision later tonight, global financial markets are holding their collective breath. The question on everyone's mind is by how much? Will it be 25 bips or 50? And what impact the cuts will have through global markets, and just as crucially, how the South African Reserve Bank's expected rate cut tomorrow could shape the local investment landscape. Joining me to unpack what all of this means for bonds in your portfolio is Albert Buerter, Head of Fixed Income at Ashburton Investments. Albert, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, that's good to be here.
With the Fed set to potentially cut rates by between 25 and 50 basis points, it's often said that the Fed takes the stairs up and the elevator down. This cycle feels a bit different. It took the elevator up, it ratcheted up interest rates very quickly from 2022, and it does look like it'll be a more gradual decline. How do you foresee this impacting global equity and bond markets over the short to medium term?
So that comment about the elevator up and stairs down, or the reverse, it's an interesting one, because historically the Fed has been quite slow to cut, except for the last two couple of crises, right? If you think about the last couple of crises, they cut relatively quickly by quite a lot. Whereas generally they tend to prefer to do, if you look back a little bit further than our more recent history, they tend to prefer to do a little bit kind of slower cuts over periods. They tend to do bigger cuts when they are forced into it. So a large part of how the markets react to it is going to be effectively whether they see the 50 basis point cut, if it is one, as a panic reaction or as a necessary reaction, or if the 25 basis point cut is seen as insufficient or sufficient. The Fed has as much of a role playing the market psychology, I think, in managing that to a degree that most people don't necessarily understand.
Given that, do you think the market is pricing in a soft landing, or do you think there are still risks of a deeper recession that could affect sentiment in the US?
So at the moment, it seems like the market is pricing in a soft landing. The types of outcomes post-Fed cuts varies depending primarily on the underlying economic circumstances. So if you look at the two types, a Fed cut followed by a recession and a Fed cut followed by that's something that's not a recession. In the case of a recession, the market tends to fall between 15% or more, whereas in the case of when there isn't a recession, the market tends to rise. So with the strong market sentiment we've seen over the last couple of weeks and months, it seems that a soft landing is still being priced in rather than a hard landing.
That's very interesting. And in the context of fixed income, we know past rate cutting cycles have shown that extending duration and focusing on quality can certainly pay off. With this in mind, how should investors be thinking about positioning themselves within the fixed income instruments to capture optimal returns given the impending cuts?
So the impending cuts tend to reduce the rates you can get in your more conservative instruments. So, for example, funds like, for example, a pure money market fund or pure cash funds, their rates will fall in the same pace at which the SARB rates start falling, which means that the funds that are still within the fixed income universe, but that take a little bit more risk. So I think of your traditional income funds or funds that they call, say, a multi-asset income fund, sometimes called diversified income, for example, like the Ashburton Diversified Income Funds. Those funds tend to do slightly better in these kind of cutting cycles because they have a wider variety of tools that they can look at. And the fixed income market, both here and globally, is well poised for pretty decent returns, because even though we are entering a cutting cycle, we're doing it because inflation has fallen meaningfully. So South African inflation is likely going to be around 4 to 4.2%. And if a money market fund therefore gives you 8% from the 9% it has over the last year, that's still about 4% above inflation. So in a real perspective, your fixed income funds should continue to do well relative to inflation. But if you want to get a little bit more, take a little bit more risk in the fixed income space.
How do you see the SARB going tomorrow? Because looking at where our real rate is, which is your prime minus inflation, it's very high. It's 7%. And under Jill Marcus, it was closer to 3%. And I know there've been some criticisms of the SARB MPC of being overly hawkish. I think they've managed things fairly well, but it does look like they've got space to cut by more than 25 bips tomorrow.
So there's a couple of interesting things in here. The first is that the SARB, unfortunately, will by the end of today be finished with their rate decision without having sight of the Fed rate decision. Mm. So they're going into their rate decision blind, which makes their job a lot harder. The SARB has, as you've correctly said, historically done very well and is one of the most highly rated institutions, both locally and globally, from a financial markets perspective in South Africa. There is certainly scope for the SARB to cut more than 50 basis points over the next couple of cycles. Whether they're going to start off with a 50 basis point cut when they have uncertainty to the degree that which the Fed is going to cut, I think that's taken quite a lot of risk in their positioning. If I were to say, you know what, it's probably more likely that it's going to be a 25 basis points rather than 50. But it is, to be honest, it is balanced on the knife edge, both here and in the US. The market's pricing in almost a 50-50 probability of either one of those outcomes.
What do you make of our real rates being as restrictive as they are by historical standards?
So our real rates are to a large degree, they're high, but it's also because global real rates are high. If you think about a decade ago, U.S. real rates, and for much of the last decade, U.S. real rates at the front end of the curve, so their Fed policy rate, averaged negative 1.6%. Now, that has now gone up, and it's currently sitting at, as you know, 5.25%, so sitting about 2%. So because the global real rate has picked up so much, it puts pressure on our real rates and pushes that up a lot more. So if you look at our historical, let's call it the real rate differential, our real rate relative to the US real rate, the difference is actually not as high. One of the reasons our real rate is high is not just because the SARB is being hawkish, but because global real rates in global central banks across the world is quite high.
And obviously there are other factors like the carry trade and what impact it might have on the currency, that kind of thing. Do you foresee a big impact on the rand if we see, as pretty much the consensus might seem to be, a 25 basis point cut by the Fed, followed by a 25 basis point cut by the SARB, kind of in lockstep? How do you see the rand reacting?
Historically, outside of periods of crisis, in a Fed cutting cycle, emerging market currencies tend to do well. Right? If you think about what drives emerging market flows, to a large degree, it is the return-seeking behavior of the national investors. Mm. And as the interest rates in the U.S. and the world start falling, they start look for higher returns elsewhere. And then they find those in countries like South Africa. So generally, in a Fed cutting cycle and a soft landing scenario, we would expect the rand to remain relatively strong. That means that where we're trading now at about 17 rand 60 versus the dollar, I mean, not that long ago, we were trading at 19. A little bit before that, we almost touched 20. The rand has actually been trading either flat or stronger for much of the last 2 years. And it's likely that outside of a crisis scenario, the rand will continue to trade somewhere between the 17.50 to 18 band. And we can actually trade stronger, although that's not my base case. But in Fed cutting cycles, the rand's likely going to be stronger rather than weaker.
And, you know, speaking of how it impacts international capital flows, I agree with you, yield-seeking investors, it does open up the emerging market universe again. What does this mean for South African bonds and our broader asset markets generally, equities as well? Do you anticipate us benefiting from some of these yield-seeking international flows, looking at our market, looking potentially at the improved narrative around the GNU, and we're now 170 odd days without load shedding, all of these things coming together? It does seem to be quite supportive of South African assets from a very low base, admittedly.
So I agree. There's likely some upside purely for South Africa there as well. If you think about some of the last times South Africa did really well, both from an investor perspective, but also from an economic perspective, it was when the local economy was strong, and we were riding a resource wave. So this is kind of the early to mid 2000s. Now, what's a little bit different this time is there's not necessarily a resource wave, but what has been happening the last couple of years is that people have been avoiding emerging markets to a large degree. We've seen significant outflows from all emerging markets across the globe, not just South Africa, for a variety of reasons, including higher rates globally, China struggling, etc. As the dollar starts, or as the US rates start falling, dollar weakness starts becoming a theme, it is likely that we will start seeing flows into emerging markets in general. And then in that wave, if South Africa then suddenly looks better than it did historically, we could do quite well. It was recently released that the Stellenbosch BER, Bureau of Economic Research, had their forecast for next year's real GDP estimate at above 2%, which would have been outside the COVID recovery, the highest rate of growth South Africa has seen in more than a decade.
Yeah.
So if we see this return increasing, the return of EM investors increasing, and South Africa suddenly does better, then certainly we can see flows into both equity markets and bond markets and into our local industries.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's supportive of commodities, and that's, you know, a big part of the South African story as well. Just lastly, Albert, and I'm sure you get this question all the time, you know, as head of fixed income, if you're an investor, South African investor, and you're considering allocating between local and global fixed income assets, you get high yield, there's all kinds of this junk. How important is it to strike a balance here between duration and credit quality and currency risk in the current environment? I know every portfolio is different, but how generally would you be positioning to capture this shift that we're seeing in the cycle currently?
So I have a colleague who likes to joke that one of South Africa's best exports is our high real yields. There are very few places in the world where you can get the high real yields with relative safety and extreme liquidity and extreme sophistication that you can in South Africa. For most retail investors in South Africa, having the majority of their fixed income exposure in South Africa is probably the right positioning. Because also, if you think about the purpose of fixed income in a portfolio, it's generally to be safe and to be liquid. The moment you take fixed income offshore or too much of it, you lose a part of the liquidity aspect of it, because bringing it back into South Africa in a time of crisis is tough. And the other thing you start losing is some of that kind of stability element to it, because the currency starts influencing the volatility of your investment. So most portfolios, as well as most of the retail customers I know, keep most of their fixed income in South Africa, whereas if they do take global exposure, it'll be minimal fixed income. There might be some. And then specifically in things like the U.S. bond market, just for diversification. And they use most of the global allocations for equities rather than pure fixed income.
That was Albert Buerter, head of fixed income at Ashburton Investments, giving us an expert, in-depth look into the potential impacts of the Fed and the SARB potentially cutting. We don't know just yet, but it certainly seems to be on the cards. Certainly pivotal for both global and local markets at the moment. So make sure you're prepared. You're listening to Classic Business. Stay with us for more market insights after this break.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.